Spotlight. This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on government's initiatives to enhance defense capabilities. The participants are Major General Ashok Kumar, Director General, Center for Joint Warfare Studies, and Ajay Banerjee, journalist.
General Kumar, there has been an important decision of the Defense Acquisition Council. Defense Acquisition Council is the apex decision-making body of the Defense Ministry. It has okayed proposals worth 54,000 crore to enhance defense capabilities. Out of these proposals, there are three key proposals. One is the upgradation of the engine of the T-90 tanks used by the Indian Army. The second is a new torpedo called Varunastra, which is domestically produced, which will be used in warships of the Indian Navy, and a series of new airborne early warning controlled aircraft systems, also called surveillance planes for the IAF. General Kumar, can we start in sequence? What is the impact of having a better engine on the tanks?
The decision of Defense Acquisition Council on 20th March is a major game changer, because they have not only looked at only one service, they have looked at the critical requirements of all three services. First, to the Army. You are well aware that we have had the 1,000 horsepower engines of T-90s. But our entire battlefield, if you see with our primary adversary, China, is in a mountainous region. And mountains require higher horsepower for the tank mobility. Similar is the case with Pakistan in the line of control segment of Jammu and Kashmir. So therefore, a very, very prudent and pragmatic decision has been taken to go in for 1350 horsepower engines for T-90s as against 1000 horsepower engines. This is in tune with the futuristic need of our defense forces and preparing for the ensuing battlefield fightings, if they happen at all. But it will at least keep the forces ready for such kind of eventuality.
General Kumar, we have around a series of big regiments of T-90 tanks. How long can this upgradation take? An estimation. I understand that you cannot give an exact number at the moment, but upgrading all these tanks could take a while. How could that number be?
You are well aware, Ajay, that as far as engines are concerned, whether it is a case of aero engines, marine engines, or the tank engines, so to say, it is one of the biggest challenges the country faces. And this step which has been taken to going for 1350 horsepower engines for the tanks, to my mind, it will take a reasonable amount of time. 3 years are the minimum guess which I can make. But even at the end of 3 years, if we can produce an indigenous engine of this kind of caliber, I think that will be one of the biggest steps towards our indigenization.
Great. General Kumar, we'll shift to the Navy. The Defense Acquisition Council also okayed Varunastra new domestically produced torpedoes for the Indian Navy. To tell our listeners, these torpedoes are put on Indian naval warships and these are deployed under sea to hit at submarines. General Kumar, how important is this change that we are now producing our own domestically produced torpedoes for the Indian Navy, and how does it change the dynamics of undersea warfare?
This is very, very important, Ajay. In fact, if you see and monitor the progress of PLA Navy and its increasing interest in the Indian Ocean region, a lot of effort is being made towards the production of the submarines for its reach and the capability creation. And therefore, these torpedoes, which are basically used for countering the submarine threats, are going to be, again, very, very important tools. And you are well aware that these are being indigenously produced by Bharat Dynamics Limited. And therefore, this order coming will further enhance the capacity of Indian Navy. Whole country, actually, there has been a talk with Chief of Defense Staff has been emphasizing that we should not look towards India only as a continental country with some sea borders. We should look at India as an island wherein it has got the major maritime interest with some continental border. So with this revised thought process, the way the Indian Ocean region and our enhanced concern for the Indo-Pacific is growing, this Varunastra torpedoes, they are going to create a lot of capacities to the Indian Navy which are critically needed. So I consider this is a very, very, apt decision for going in for this kind of indigenous production.
General Kumar, the third important aspect of the Defense Acquisition Council meeting yesterday was it okayed the buying of new surveillance planes for the IAF, which I learned that they are from the Embraer family and which already use the Embraer family's planes, and we have a domestically produced surveillance equipment or a radar which is mounted on the airplane. I'm told that 6 of these are being purchased in the first lot. Sir, how does this change the air warfare? How does this help a fighter pilot or UAV pilot or commanders on the ground?
Ajay, in today's time, there are a large number of equipments which are being used in the aerial ways, to include the fighter aircraft, the supersonic missiles, and so many other resources. Number of long-range vectors are being utilized. So it is very, very important that we are able to detect these resources. And for that detection, high-caliber aerial platform-based surveillance equipment is needed. In fact, Indian Air Force went in for its first AEWC, the Airborne Early Warning and Control System, as early as in February 2017, wherein it used a Brazilian Embraer 145 jet. And thereafter, it shifted to Netra systems, which was developed by DRDO. It has already got 3 Netra systems. The current sanction is going for 6 of such more pieces. And these are going to be the advanced versions of the current Netra. These will be known as Netra Mark 1 Alpha. But the Air Force requirement and DRDO's effort is not going to be limited here only. They are going to develop 6 more later. And the later ones are going to be based on a different platform. They are going to be based on Airbus 321 platforms. So if you see the Defense Acquisition Council's this decision of clearing the acceptance of necessity, which is the first step for major acquisition worth 54,000 crores, they have taken care of critical need of the Air Force in terms of the surveillance equipment, in terms of Navy for enhancing the anti-submarine capability, and of those tanks to give them more mobility, more firepower to be capable of operating in the high altitude areas.
General Kumar, on the administrative front, the DAC also okayed a very important aspect which is being watched over for several decades. It has approved guidelines for reducing the timelines for the acquisition process. Now, how important is this, sir? Because we know it takes years in our process to complete an acquisition of an equipment or a weapon, which by that time the weapon is or the equipment is outdated. Will these new guidelines help, sir?
Frankly speaking, I personally consider these guidelines much more important than the acquisition itself. If you would have heard the Chief of Defense Staff speaking during the Raisina dialogue, he clearly stated that the procedural timings involved, they do not match up with the way technology and equipments are changing, and therefore that requires to be reduced. And the Honorable Defense Minister has already declared this year of defense reforms. One of the major defense reforms included in that is the amended Defense Acquisition Procedure 2025, which is going to fast track the procedure. So this amendment, what has been approved, which is implementable right from the word go from that date itself, has already reduced. Of course, there is a scope of further reduction. There is a guess, the current reduction is going to reduce the timing of 15% to 20%. But I think once the DAP 2025 comes with the final form, it will be able to address this challenge in a big way, and we will be able to adopt to one of the best practices prevalent anywhere in the world.
General Kumar, a large part of this success story which we are talking about hinges upon our own Atmanirbharta or self-reliance. To just give you a number, the Indian defense production reached 1.27 lakh crores in the last fiscal. Now, that is an increase of 174% in the past decade. This is part of the Make in India initiative, which was announced in 2015, and we are doing very well. I will first ask you, how is this important that we increase our defense production to the numbers which I mentioned, 1.27 lakh crore? Could you give a lowdown that what does this mean?
Actually, it means a lot. We have had our experience of fighting wars, and we have clear-cut examples where even our so-called friendly countries either denied a particular facility to the country or charged exorbitant rates for the equipment or ammunition which we needed. And therefore, India has taken a very conscious and right decision to go in for Atmanirbharta or full indigenization for its defense forces, because unless we are able to produce need of our defense forces indigenously, we cannot take care of our national concerns when there is hostility on the borders. So therefore, this is going to be a game changer. I think one of the biggest changes which has happened is about the change in the ecosystem. Today, government as well as the defense forces are willing to extend all kind of assistance and support to our defense manufacturing industries, to MSMEs and startups. And there is a lot of energy on their part also. And if we continue growing this way and take further steps to address the blocks which will happen in this era of reforms in a big way, I think we'll be able to meet our requirement in totality. And once we are able to do that, only then we'll be able to maintain our strategic autonomy as well as our capacity to calibrate operations, you know, if there is any conflict on our borders.
General Kumar, I'll just give a few numbers and then seek your comments. At the moment, we are 65% of defense equipment is now manufactured domestically in India. Say around a decade ago, we were importing around 65-70% of the equipment. So this is actually a turnaround. And the private sector is playing a crucial role. India now targets that it will have an export of around 50,000 crores by 2029. That is military equipment exports of 50,000 crores by 2029. Last fiscal, we had a defense export of around 21,000 crores. And we are also aiming at a production of defense equipment to take it to 3 lakh crores. Now, these are big jumps, General Kumar. We are defense production from 1.27 lakh to 3 lakh crores and the defense exports from the existing 21,000 crores to 50,000 crores by 2029. Is it possible and how will it change the paradigm of Indian defense industry?
It is very much possible. Firstly, let me look at the where we want to enhance our defense production capacity. So while we have done well in terms of percentage to take it up, but the critical equipment in terms of missiles, in terms of engines, in terms of, you know, higher value resources, whether it be Air Force for the Navy or, you know, Army, they are still in the export category. Once we are able to indigenize those high ticket products, I'm sure this cost can be taken up without any problem. Similarly, I'm very optimistic on the export front also. There is a increased trust of the large number of countries in the world who are looking towards India for, you know, meeting their defense requirement. So I think the way we are going, once we implement the era of defense reforms to the fullest measure and do the hand holding of the defense manufacturers a little more, both these targets will be fully achievable.
General Kumar, briefly, we are running out of time. How will we meet the critical equipment? You stated at the start of the program that engines, where are we standing in terms of engines, aero engines, marine engines, or any kind of engines used for the military?
Engine is one of the, you know, critical components. You just see the case of the aero engines. Now, we are not able to produce Tejas in the requisite numbers. We have seen the concern of the Air Force also being expressed publicly. So we have gone in for a contract from US to get engines. At the face of it, it appears attractive that engine will come and then it will be able to, you know, take advantage of this and make our aircraft functional. But once you go to the second line of the parts suppliers, you'll find GE-404 engine has got assemblies and sub-assemblies of 20 countries. Once you go to the third level, you'll find there, you know, minor components are coming from 75 countries. So all these are coming and then they are getting aggregated in USA for further sale to India. Now, given the geopolitical situation and conflicts going in various parts of the, you know, world, there is some or the other country which is affected, and therefore India has to take now lead to produce its own indigenous engine for aircraft requirement in the mission mode. So that is one thing. It is doable, but it will require no day-night effort as if the war has come today. Second, coming to the naval engines, the marine engines, we have had, you know, reasonable amount of progress to develop the diesel engines. But again, the all kind of engines are still required to be, you know, worked hard. Navy has taken a lot of lead and proactive measures. So I think they are well on track. And, you know, as we go ahead, they will be able to meet this requirement, you know, as they go ahead. Coming to the tank engines, are the engines which can be used by the Army. Now, we have, you know, certain indigenous engines, but they are meant for a different role. If we tweak those engines, there is a, you know, chance or a probability to get these engines produced fast. So I think all the R&D in the private sector, they have to be nurtured. They have to be working in cohesion along with our, you know, DRDO in a mission mode, and so that engine capacity will be able to be developed. I am confident in case we all stakeholders come on board. So 3 to 5 years, we should be able to produce indigenous tank and marine engines. And it may take anything from 5 to 10 years to produce the aero engines to meet our requirement.
General Kumar, thank you. That was a very lucid explanation of self-reliance or Atmanirbharta and also the three critical decisions the Defense Acquisition Council has taken with regards to acquisition for the forces. Thank you for speaking to us, General Kumar.
Thank you very much.
You were listening to a discussion on government's initiatives to enhance defense capabilities. The participants were Major General Ashok Kumar, Director General, Center for Joint Warfare Studies, and Ajay Banerjee, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. Spotlight.